Blog Talk Radio.
Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper. And we're bringing it to you like we always do every week. This is the baddest radio show in the land right now on the internet. And I am your man that brings it to you. So sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and this is that Monday, July 2nd, 2012, right before that big Independence Day, and we're going to do our thing like we always do on the show, and we always have special guests, and we got some that's going to be coming on this evening, and we got 2 hours of sexy, sexual talk as we go forth. just want you to sit back and relax. And if you got any questions you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And we have someone that's calling from area code 214. You state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Shamor, and I'm calling from Texas.
Oh, so you decided to call in with your sexy self. Okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we always like to have special guests on the show, and this is a very, very special guest because, of course, she wasn't scheduled, but we're glad to have her call in. And I've been messing with her all the time online, and, you know, it's always good to get good people that respond back. So what's going on with you in your world?
In Shamor's world, everything is always good. Right now I'm waiting on the book to drop. Got to read through the proof real quick, and then I'll be ready to kind of start distribution. So that is my big priority right now.
So which book is this one, sweetheart?
This is A Lover's Redemption. This is my solo project.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been working on that one?
It's been written a while. It was the publishing that was the fight. It took a while to get it put out. Self-publishing is not for the meek. You have to be ready to roll with the punches. So, but it was written about 9 years ago. And I brought it to completion a few years ago. And so I've been put it into publishing for the last year.
Wow. So what do you think about that since you just birthed this baby and it's almost coming out the canal? How do you feel about that right now?
How I feel about the book being ready?
About it coming out because, you know, once it gets all the way out and it's birthed.
You know, I've had so many little snafus in the mix, so once I touch it, then I can say, oh, yeah, I'm so excited, you know. But so right now I'm kind of getting excited just a little bit because it's further in production than it's ever been, but I have to touch it. And then when I touch it, everybody will know how excited I am.
Okay. Well, you know, that's usually it. And I tell you, every time a new book out, I feel the same way about it. It's like the first book. I don't think you ever get it to a point where you're just so used to books coming out that you just don't have the excitement because I tell you from my experience, it's a great thing. And I think that, you know, once you're able to touch and see the book in your hand and know that you created this thing and that you're able to get it out to the masses and those who want to read and learn about what you have put in there, I think that is, you know, a lot of
Yeah. I mean, because it's my baby. And so, you know, all the little fine points along the way really mattered, but it is my baby. So I had to have it perfect for me, as perfect as I could get it. And so I'm just ready, like you said, to see that come to fruition and to be able to say, there it is. Look what I did. So.
Okay. Well, you know, we're glad to have you put it out because, like I said, and you got other projects going on too, don't you? I mean, you said self-publishing is a problem, or not, I ain't going to say a problem, but it's a thing that you definitely have to get yourself into because wearing that publishing hat is not what everybody thinks it is it?
Right, yeah. And, you know, I work really closely with Therese Black Johnson, and she's a wonderful person. So we've kind of partnered up with this literary division of her Gumbook for the Soul. And so I'm heading that up. And just the process of getting everything how you want it, just before you even get started with trying to publish authors, but just the behind-the-scenes background work, that's been a little bit of an animal to wrestle with. But it's going to be wonderful, too, so. And
so
you're
going
to be in our first baby with that project.
Oh yes. I'm so glad, too, because I was honored, actually, to be among those that are in the book this time. And, you know, I'm humbled by it. And, you know, I just want to write because I love writing and I love putting it out there and letting people read. And I give it to you as raw as possible. So I must say that I'm very honored to be part of that, so. I thank you for
I'm so glad that you are. I'm glad you're part of it. I always like to venture out and find regions that I, writers that I've never experienced before, so that I can have a new experience with something that I don't know if I am familiar with, or, you know, a style that might be different than something I've read before or how I write. And so it's an honor to be around people that enjoy the craft and do what you do. So. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Is there, have you had a chance to take a look at some of the subject matter that's there?
From the anthology?
Uh-huh.
I've read some of the, like, the writer's challenges. I've read those. I have readers because I don't like to just be the only one, you know, reading something. And so some of them will call and say, oh, my goodness, whoever this guy is, it's amazing, you know. So I've gotten some, oh, my goodness, remarks from some of my readers, too. So
really?
I'm really excited to get, you know, all the final reviews from them so that when I read it, I can just go, yeah, I agree with what everyone said. But I've already gotten some responses from my readers that are saying that some of the submissions are just amazing.
Really? I wonder
but
if that's
collection.
Is it that hot or what?
Say that again.
I wonder if that red snapper was hot enough.
That red snapper, I saved him for myself.
Oh, no. you think it's a little too much or what?
I'm not going to call it right now.
Okay.
I want to read the whole entire piece, and then I can be informed when I make my call. So I don't think it's too much because we're all grown.
You know, I think it's just what it is. You know, it is what it is, and that's what we try to do. And we're going to bring Mr. D.V. Henn in right now because he's now on the line. How you doing, D.V.?
What's happening, Red?
Doing my thing, talking to this sexy lady on the line here. Introduce yourself to her.
Okay. Hello, I'm DV. I'm sorry, I don't, you know, I've only been listening for maybe for like last minute or so, I didn't catch your name.
I'm Shamor.
Okay. It's my pleasure to meet you, Shamor.
And she is sexy.
Your opinion.
Well, everybody's got one, right, baby?
Exactly. I'm not arguing with it. I'm not arguing with it, though.
Okay. Well, I mean, you act like you didn't want to agree or something. I mean, it's you I'm talking about.
Oh, I graciously accept it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we got the 4th of July coming up here, and we're going to have some fireworks going, I think. And right now, thinking about some of them pictures I saw of you, it's probably making a brother do that. But anyway.
DB, what's been
up with you, man?
Man, like, what hasn't been up, I guess, is the key phrase.
I know you've been busy, and I spoke to Cotton. She's supposed to be coming on tonight, hopefully, and we do have a main guest that's coming on tonight, too. Shamor is a special guest that just happened to call in, which I am grateful that she has done that. And we're supposed to have another guest that's supposed to be calling in that's the feature tonight, but of course she has not called in yet. But that's okay because we can make this thing happen the way it goes because everything goes on Word Sexy Radio, so we do whatever. And, you know, it's always good to ad lib and just let it go and just be spontaneous anyway, so that's what we do.
No choice.
That's right.
Besides, it'd be boring if it was scripted. I don't think I'd like the show if it was scripted at all.
And you know, that's the reason why I don't put scripts out, because it'd be fucked up. Especially
I know.
We don't play that.
You know, you know, I meet a lot of people who tell me, you know, they're tired of doing radio shows with, you know, so what got you into writing and who's your inspiration? You know, kind of when people regurgitate the same questions over and over again that you basically got in practice. So, I mean, sometimes it's nice to add a little spontaneity to a show where you don't know what the next question is going to be.
Yeah, I like that, and especially when we have special guests like we got right now who don't know what we're going to ask her. Hopefully she won't jump off the line, because we might throw anything out there. And, of course, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. It's too personal, but, you know, I saw that pose you did on your website there. Well, I see it on Facebook, but I don't try to put it out too hard. But just so you know, you sitting back relaxed, looking all sexy on me. What was you thinking, I wonder?
Okay, well, I have not been privy to any of this, so if I may ask, what is the website?
You need to go to, you go on Facebook, just go to her page, Shamor.
Oh, okay.
And you will see her standing there, looking all sexy.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Red, you got like 5,000 friends, I got like 500. You know what I'm saying? The only friends that I have are the people that I talk to. You know, or the people that I exchange with. You know, and if I don't know you, I probably don't like you. And that's my philosophy. So, I mean, as I get to know people, I get to like them. And then, you know, to me, I consider it a little phony to simply add friends simply because if there's nothing that I can learn from you or if there's nothing you can do besides sell your books to me, you know, then we have no reason to be friends. You know,
that's not really what I do on my page. Actually, I haven't pushed my book yet. I'm just lovable. You just don't know what you're missing if you're not part of Shamor's world.
Let me give you a little bit of her world. She is the producer of the anthology that we're doing, Gumbo of the Soul, Fire Desire, and she is like heading that, spearheading that with us, me, Omar Tari, Sheila Goss, a few others that's going to be in that book. I think Amani True is trying to get in there as well, and we're just happy to have this sexy lady leading us in this erotic venture that we're going to be taking here in the fall. So, and her own book is coming out as well, but she's not one of those ones that's all they do is sell their books online and don't care about nobody else but themselves. No, she's not one of them.
Or, you know, like, or the people who constantly invite you to stuff that you're never going to make it to. You know, I'm in Houston, Texas. You know, somebody's inviting me to stuff in Bangkok, Maine. Like, really?
Right.
So, like, for real? So, I mean, I get a lot of those, and I kick them off my list. Because if we haven't had any type of conversation, but the first thing you want to do is sell me something, then we're not friends.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that because I get invitations and I look at them and they're to 5,000 people. Well, then that wasn't a personal invitation. And you just, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's not intimate. So I do understand that.
But you know something, now that I've heard the voice to go with the body, I'm kind of like struck out. You know, I don't know what to say. It's hard to keep getting me quiet.
This is true. I will agree with that.
Yeah. But let me also say this to you.
I don't know what to say.
Make your comment, baby. Go ahead.
I don't know what to say. I mean, this is the package. This is it. This is what you get.
Just know that women who come in all sizes, we like them all. It's not just about that skinny, bony-ass woman. It's about the thickness of something you can hold in your hand and be able to feel. That's what we're about.
Man, I like tomboys. I just be honest with you. I like tomboys. I like women who don't mind playing sports, who don't mind, you know, being outside, you know, things like that. I grew up around tomboys, so that's all I ever saw. I didn't see my first girly girl until I was a teenager. I didn't know girls didn't play sports, you know. So, I mean, I like an athletic woman, and that's what I'm attracted to. She ain't got to be built. But she got to want to play sports, you know, tackle me something.
Oh, I get it. You know, let me go ahead and give a shout-out to Tamika Newhouse because she has gotten her body down to a point where I'm like, damn. It's making
me...
Man,
don't do that. Do not pat her on the shoulder, because God knows if she hit it, I will never hit it into me. Ever, ever, ever.
I know. I'm just telling you. She has done great things with her body, and I commend her on what she's done, because, you know, I ain't even going to go in there. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm just going to leave it alone. But anyway, what else have you got going on, Ms. Shamore? Because I know you say you got your novel coming out. And I guess you're going to be setting up some stuff with the Gumbo of the Soul as well. How did you come up with that, concept?
What happened was I worked with Beverly a long time with Gumbo for the Soul. And, you know, it's basically self-help, community service type of project. And then I decided that, or we decided that we would publish my book. Well, it didn't really fit under the umbrella of, you know, go get your screening for breast cancer. So she was thinking, you know, I'll help you do it. And then that sparked that whole concept of what could we spin out of this area, because she likes my writing. And so she thought, you know, what could we spin out of that? And so we kind of came up with the idea of a division that deals with, you know, fiction lit. And so that's kind of how I was born. And then when she saw Shamore grow and become who Shamore is, she was like,
well,
you
that.
Can just do it. You know, you can just do it.
Like,
wait, is Shamore referring to herself in third person here?
Yeah, we know, just like that Red Snapper. You know how Red
well, because that's my pen name, you know, so yeah, I did do that.
I just want to be sure. All right, superstar, go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
I'm just saying, well, what the whole concept behind the whole Shamore element to what it became. And so at that point, she's like, well, you know, you can just handle it. So that's what kind of happened. I was like, well, I'll just handle it. That's what I'll do. And so, you know, I've been working on it today and getting things set up, and, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Well, you know, Red is like that, too, because Red likes that kind of shit, and Red is talking to third person, man, because Red is that way. And Red's got more respect for you, because now that he heard your voice, he really needs you now.
Well, I don't know what to say.
How y'all get sex out of it? I mean, you know, y'all got all these divisions. Who thought about fucking?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily that. It's just, you know, when you get certain minds together, that's what happens. I mean, you know, I'm more of a romantic. You know, the sex is a very small part of what I'm into. I'm into all the things that lead up to the sex. I'm into the mental before the sex. So
I have to agree that, you know, it's about the journey. But, how did I get Omar Tyree to write some sexual shit? That's wrong with me.
Say it again. How do we what?
How do you get Omar Tyree to write some sexual shit?
You know, Omar Tyree is very much a unique personality. And what happened was initially I asked him to give me a blurb for my book. And he did. So we kind of developed a business relationship there, some other ventures that he was working on, and I kind of worked with him kind of behind the scenes and something else. And so, well, when it came to this, he was like, well, what do you need? So, it was really cool. It was real smooth. I mean, he was more willing than I expected.
And why wouldn't he be? Look at you.
No, but you know how this business is. Whenever you meet somebody that you can connect with and they're not out to stab you in the back, you know, you actually want to build a rapport with them, you know, because there's always somebody that wants something but not willing to give anything. And when you find somebody that's willing, you know, to ebb and flow with you, you know, you tend to keep them around.
That's true.
I like that.
And you know, I like to be supportive of people, because you never know when you're going to be on that asking end of anything. So,
well, I think it's a great project, and like I said, I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad that y'all chose me to venture part of that, because, you know, like I said in the beginning, it's an honor to even be among some of the names that's going to be in that book. And, you know, I'm humbled, and I never thought I was all that anyway, but, you know, it's just, I love writing, and I like to do it with people that love to do it, so that's my thing.
And
okay,
that's my thing. So the new publishing, I guess, division is called Passion Ink Press. So everything dealing with that anthology will be coming under that umbrella. So.
Okay, like a brief question. The name of the anthology is Gumbo for the Soul, Fire and Desire, correct?
No, it's just Fire and Desire.
Oh, okay. Because I was kind of like lost, because it's like, you know, Gumbo for the Soul, Fire and Desire. So, like, I wasn't sure. So I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, because the Gumbo for the Soul portion of that will not be anywhere on the along working with this element, because those are two totally different animals. So.
Right. Okay. That's what I was asking. I was like, well, if it's Gumbo for the Soul, you know, and it's kind of a self-help genre.
Yeah. No, we're not giving instructions on how to please yourself. No.
All right. Just wanted to be sure. I am in love.
I don't embarrass you when I talk to you, do I?
No. It's hard to embarrass you.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because, you know, I get freaky sometimes, and it's just that.
Sometimes, huh?
That's just red.
Because I know how to say no.
You do know how to say no, baby. You do. You said no before, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I got to mess with you. You called in.
Okay, I called in. I mean, I suited up for this.
Huh?
I said I called in, which means I suited up for this.
That's right, and you can handle it. You definitely can handle it. I don't know where your counterpart or the other person that was supposed to be on the show, Miss Amber, she's supposed to be here tonight, and I don't know if she forgot or what, but it's okay. We're going to do our thing, because we always do, and anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, and we have Shamor right now, who is our guest, and of course, Mr. D.B. Hint is here as well, and he's a deviant one, if you don't know that. He sounds like he's been doing some shit before he came today, because I hadn't talked to him in a minute, but I'm sure we're going to find out pretty soon what's going on before the week is out, what's up with Mr. D.B. Hint. And Cotton should be calling in pretty soon, and hopefully she will. If not, then we'll just get on her ass when she calls next time. How about that? Okay. So, DV,
what's up?
You got to tell me, man. I know that you have something. Where are you on your book now, man? Because I know it's getting close, isn't it?
Like, yeah. As a matter of fact, it is. I am, in fact, like I told you, I'm a perfectionist by nature. So what I started doing was I started rewriting all of my stories at the same time. So right now I'm in the process of rewriting three stories. Actually, my three novels. I'm rewriting the first novel, rewriting Valentine, and now I'm in the process of going over Valentine 2, because the hardest thing about writing a sequel is that everything in the first one has to be, that they have to mesh, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Sometimes you find yourself reading your own book to remember exactly what your characters are like. So that's primarily what I'm doing now, because I basically came to a block that my character's like, yeah, I don't do that. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and read the first book and make sure that everything is, you know, in sync. So that's what I find myself doing now. So I'm in the process of editing the first two books. Actually, I'm writing for a few anthologies at the same time, writing Valentine too. So I guess I'm being pulled in a bunch of different directions, which is fine. You know, plus I got some, you know, some crazy family issues going on. So I guess that adds to the tension that kind of forces me to write. I'm a mood writer. Depending on what type of mood I'm in is how I write. So they certainly, you know, keep me on my toes to, you know, put me in that space where I'm like, oof, I need to write. You know, this is good stuff right here. Good tension. So
right. In
all honesty, you know, I'm writing a little bit of everything everywhere. I'm trying to step outside of erotica. And, you know, just write romance, which maybe it's me. It seems a little easy without the added element of sex, because writing the sex scenes is hard. It is. You know, but when you draw, you know, when you draw upon the romance, you know, it's fun, but it's like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm missing out on taking it that step further. You know,
right. But
romance is still fun, you know, and as long as it's fun, I'm going to do it. You know, just trying to stretch my wings, find out what I'm capable of. You know, Melody's harassing me about getting some stuff done for the summer. So if I can, every day that I wake up is a chance to do better and be better. So, you know, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a question after Shamor does. Go ahead.
Do you write poetry?
Nope.
You're not a poet at all?
I used to be, but it's always open to interpretation. I may not understand or relate to somebody else's interpretation because, you know, I'm just not, you know, I like spoken word, and the reason why is because I can feel the power behind it. I'm not as big a fan of poetry simply because, like I said, it's always open to interpretation. And, you know, iambic pentameter is what I, you know, feel strongest in. If it doesn't rhyme or if it's not in a rhythm type mode, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Or I can't relate, or you know what I'm saying? I can't feel it. Once upon a time, I used to write poetry, but I was more the type of person that I didn't want nobody to see it. And then when everybody started seeing it, I was embarrassed and I was like, yeah, I'm never going to do this again. So I never went that route.
Okay, because I was just saying that because my first published piece of work was erotica, and it was the hardest thing for me to write because romance I have all day because I'm a poet at heart, so I could write my scenes without saying any of, you know, the explicit stuff. But to write the explicit details for a piece of erotica, it worked me. So I kind of... But
I'm
I found the other way of discussing sex and, you know, the foreplay and all that in my poetic way, in my prose, for my romance to be really simple. So I was just curious if you...
See, I'm a romantic at heart. There are some things that, you know, I'm very indifferent about a lot, but at my very core, you know, I believe in romance. You know, and I believe it exists. So even when I write sex scenes, Like if my mother say, you know, I want to read your stuff, I'm like, no, I will do everything in my power. In all honesty, I find it hard to reread a lot of my sex scenes because I'm thinking, what will my mother think about this? You know, so, I mean, I do it because I enjoy the intensity of it all. And I do it to get better at it because, you know, with every scene that you write, you know, you can always look at it again a few months later and be like, okay, I want to say something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the things that I'm doing now. I'm kind of, you know, trial and error in that mode. You know, I've written a scene about, you know, like in the anthology I did Untapped. You know, I basically wrote a story about a man who contemplates losing his masculinity to be with a woman that, you know, was always gay, but, you know, she had actually considered marrying him. So... You know, I try to think outside of the box, try to do something that I hadn't seen before or hadn't done before or even haven't read before. But, you know, just to add that extra level to make it just that much harder to see if I can be that much better.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if I can dial Cotton real quick. Y'all keep talking. You may hear dialing for a few minutes, but then after that we're going to go.
He's about to call Cotton, like, get your hands on this phone. What you mean we may hear dialing? That's a certainty. I can hear dialing and ringing.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
She put your ass on block. It didn't even ring four times. Guess what? You got blocked, buddy.
Is that it? Is that what it is?
If it ain't ringing three times, it's either one of two things. Either she's somewhere where it's out of range, out of service, or she just saw your number and is like, okay, send them the voicemail.
Well, yeah, that's possible. But she was the one that asked to be on tonight and was wondering if she was still a co-host. And I said, yes, you are. And what's the problem? But she's a poet, and she's been going around the country doing some stuff. So I understand that. But, it's amazing that you guys find it hard. I guess erotica is kind of hard because you got to make sure the scenes that you write make sense, first of all, and the sexual positions that you put people in got to be something that can actually happen. There's a lot of things to it. Yeah, got to be, there's a lot of things to it, and you got to be able to get somebody hot, because if you can't get them hot, then why are you writing it? So if you're not getting yourself hot, then it shouldn't be, you shouldn't even be putting it on paper. But my thing is, you definitely got to be, it is a hard subject. I do write more than just erotica. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of paranormal, although some erotica has been part of that as well. It's good to be able to take yourself and move it around. Huh?
The difference between romance and erotica is that romance, you can draw from your own experiences. Things that hurt you, things that you found overwhelming, you can make that part of your story. The thing with erotica is you may not be doing the same things that your characters are doing. So it requires a massive amount of research. You have to do background. You have to, what are they wearing? What positions are they in? Is this even logical? Can it happen? I've read one story where this dude is asleep and he has an erection. I was like, I've been asleep and I cannot maintain an erection, And, I've gone so far as to do research on that. How long can a man, maintain an erection, or can he even have an erection while he's asleep? And it's not, find out you can do it, but, you need drugs to do it with,
Really?
So, like, there are, right, they say, because as much as an erection is a conscious thing, but, you have to willingly, most men are sight. Things that arouse you are things that you see, and it's hard to arouse most men if they're not seeing something arousing or doing something arousing. So if it's supplemented by medication or medicine, it can be done. You make a man pass out, but, you slip him something that maintains his erection, he can have an erection for a few minutes, even after he's unconscious. So, I had to, I've done, I've done so much research. I used to watch, in order to do this role where this man decides he wants a sex change, I used to watch this thing called Sex Change Hospital. I didn't know there was such a TV show called Sex Change Freaking Hospital, but it exists. And I'm watching these men lose their genitals and these women add genitals, and it's just like, wow. It was fascinating. It was disturbing, but it was fascinating. But you do it for the craft.
Well, that's it. That's what usually happens. I guess there's a reality show for everything that's going on out there right now. You name it, they are going to get it. They don't have it. So, yeah.
That's the truth.
So, what's coming up for you, Ms. Shamore? I mean, I know you got, like I said, you got the book coming out and all that. When do you think that's going to come out, and when is it going to drop?
I am looking for no later than July the 21st.
So 3 weeks.
Yes.
You kind of played with that for a second. You're like, I am thinking no longer. I was worried. You were going to say,
I want to make sure. I want to make sure I had my date right. I got to check.
Oh, understood.
But I'm crossing my fingers that it's before that.
Well, I noticed you didn't ask me if I wrote any poetry, which I don't, but...
I'm sorry. I was just kind of vibing with him on the whole hard to write erotica. Then I have you over there. I'm sorry. I write erotica all the time.
Listen, Red, she know I'm shit. That's the reason why she didn't ask me, DB, because... Yes, my boy is shit. He's both a nasty motherfucker, and that's all he writes is nasty ass shit. He don't have time to be thinking about no damn poetry, right? You know, that's it. I know. I ain't shit, but it's okay, baby.
I would never tell you that.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're
not to my
face. All the things that you say.
Not to my face. But it's okay.
I might write it somewhere, but I never tell you that.
You would write that I wouldn't shit? Okay, baby, I got you.
Oh. She need your review. Like, this man ain't shit. Nobody's good.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that's saying that about me right now, but fuck them.
Why?
Anyway.
I'm afraid to ask why.
No, seriously,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to ask why. Why would anybody think that you're such a sweet man? You're so such a gentleman. I've never seen anything other from you.
Wow, that's a new one.
You say I'm such a gentleman?
Yes,
that's
you
what
are.
I'm saying. I've never heard that adjective used.
Well, I've never given you any reason to think I was anything else, right?
No.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is you're gentle, yes, and you're a man, but... You know, kind of those two words combined, like Red Snapper, gentleman? I don't know, man.
DB, what am I? This is your chance to put it out in the open on the radio. What do you think Red Snapper is?
Man, Red Snapper is my crony, my left shoulder. You know, Red Snapper is that person that, even though we all think it or don't say it, Red Snapper go damn sure say it. That is who Red Snapper is. But you know what? The thing is, I love about you, Red, is your honesty and your truth. You know,
right.
If it's on your mind, you're gonna say it, and that's what I appreciate
right.
about you. Because you don't hold your tongue. You say what needs to be said. I may not always
right.
agree with it, but that's the point of you know us. You know, I
right.
shouldn't agree with everything you say. You shouldn't agree with everything I say. But I appreciate
right.
that you said it.
And I feel the same way. You're right. I got you. And that's it. You know. That's the only way we can do this, and that's the only way that I would want this to be, is to be honest and to be able to say what you want to say and not always agree all the time. You know, and that's why we have these shows, and when we have them, we talk a lot of good subjects because for that simple reason that, you know, we're not going to always agree. And when we do agree, we do. And when we don't, we don't. And we say our part, and we keep
right.
going, and we continue to be the friends that we are, and I think we're good friends. We've been doing this for a while now, and we've had lots of people on the show, and lots of people want to come back because we let them be themselves because of not being the scripted show, and not you know, saying things or whatever. I mean, you know, we just do what the fuck we want on here, and I love it. So that's what it's all about. And those people that don't understand that just don't.
Right.
So.
Thank that.
So you know,
preach on, preach on.
How it is. Huh?
Can I get a boom shakalaka laka?
Yeah, boom shakalaka. There you go. But but you know, we want to have all those authors. Hopefully, we can get that scheduled for the Fire and Desire to get all the authors on the show. We did have it scheduled, and we had to cancel it. I guess you wanted to wait until the book was out before we actually had everybody on. So hopefully, we'll
yeah.
be able to get everybody because I know everybody's schedules are going to be tight pretty soon.
Right.
And there's some planning and stuff coming up. I have a new book coming out myself in the end of July, so you know, I got that. And I just had an anthology come out, another one that I was part of, that's out right now as well, called Erotic Moments, that I did with Amika Keys and Alina Brown. And I haven't heard anything on that one yet, but that's just dropped I guess about a week ago. So we'll see how that goes. And I've been doing some anthologies this year and just kind of, like I said, helping other authors that's under my company come out. So we're doing that and everything. So, but I got this one book, Scandalous Motives 4, which is it's supposed to be the end of the series, but there is another spinoff book that's going to come from that called The Guild, because everybody's been asking questions about this secret society, the sexual society that's kind of like Eyes Wide Shut, and the black version of that. So we wanted to go ahead and get that out. I'm working on that now, called The Guild. And hell, I don't know why. I must be the king of sequels, because every time I write a damn book, it seems like I can't get past two or three of them in a series. I'm a series guy. So this Guild is already going to be a series. I can tell already where it's going, that it's going to be, because I just can't put it all in one book.
So did you do research about these secret societies?
I did. Yes, and I've also went through. I did some personal research on a couple of these places that I have ventured out to see them in action. Of course, a lot of these are not the way I wrote mine, because I wanted mine to be a little bit different than what I actually saw. But what I did see in this research, of some of the ones that I did encounter, a lot of times those you have to be, even though you're there, doesn't mean you're going to have sex. A lot of times you might, the couples have to wait to get to know you before they allow you in, and, you know, they're screening and all that, of course. But, you know, they don't just let you just come in because you're there that day and they just say, come on, and let's fuck. I mean, it doesn't really work that way unless they just really, really like you, you know. Most of the time they want to sit there and see if you're going to come a couple of times and see if you're going to, you know, if you're really serious about being part of this, because they don't just bring anybody into their fold. So, but the way mine is written is definitely, it goes back in history, starting back in 1939 and comes up to the present. So this society was kind of like when African-Americans couldn't belong to other organizations, where we are a time where we were starting our own organizations, like the Greek societies that we have, the Masonic order and all of that, the churches. Well, they also, at that time, was coming up with sex clubs. So that's what the deal is about, and we're going to definitely bring that up. And characters that I've already developed and made in my other story will be used in this as well, because these will be like the parents of some of the main people and, you know, how this thing got started. So it's interesting. It's very fun, because I have a history background. My degree is in history, and I get a chance to use a lot of my education in this as well. So, and the research part of it is pretty good too. So, so to answer your question, did I do some research on some of this stuff? Yes. And have I experienced some of these things? A little bit. I ain't gonna say how much, but yeah.
Yeah, I probably don't want to know.
You say you don't want to know?
I probably don't want to know.
You don't want to know? Why don't you want to know?
I probably wouldn't be a good thing, because I just called you gentleman. I probably might would change that a little bit. I probably don't want to know.
Damn. I thought you liked me. You don't like me, do you?
There you go, putting words in my mouth.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking a question.
Oh, okay. Well, ask the question.
Do you like me?
Of course I do. I wouldn't be on the phone if I didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good answer.
I told you. I know how to say no.
I've had people on my show that didn't like me. They didn't give a fuck about me, but they was on the show because they wanted to get the damn experience of being on World Checking Radio. But, I mean, we've had that, and they've actually argued with me on the show. So, I mean, you know. But they got what they wanted. They got the publicity that they wanted because it was on the show. So, but I don't detect that from you, because you seem like a very nice woman anyway. So, and I know you are now from talking to you, so.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, DV, what you doing for the holiday, man?
Ah, man. Hello.
Are you going to get a threesome going or something like that this holiday season? Because I know you.
Yeah, with a steak and two chicken legs.
Oh yeah. Okay. You don't fuck two women no more. Okay, I got you.
Like I'm about to.
You don't have sex with two women anymore, DV?
What are you talking about? I am pure and wholesome, and I would never do something.
I believe you.
Okay. Word is just okay. All right. I see. I'm all alone. I am all alone, all by myself. DV is a wholesome guy. He doesn't do anything but He doesn't even have to be. He's just a regular guy.
I'm here to level. I'm here to level Red Snapper out. That is my motive, my scandalous motive.
You want to be like a Red Snapper?
No, I said I'm here to.
No, I'm going to say nobody wants to be the level that I am. What level is that? Let's talk about it.
No, like my thing is, it's like once upon a time, you know, we all engaged in such craziness. But for July 4th weekend, the only thing I'll be doing is grilling. That's it.
And you're going to have sparklers in your hand, and that's it?
But you know what? Like, I never planned for anything, and I guess that's better. It's better that way because if things turn out differently, you never anticipate it, and it's a good thing. If things don't turn out like that.
I like that because being single is always spontaneous for me. I love it. I don't plan weekends. Shit just happens, and when it does, either I enjoy it or I don't.
Right.
You know, and that's my thing. She more doesn't like me anymore. But anyway, you know, I want to tell you right now, I just enjoy what I do. I mean, I'm just having a good time and enjoying life at the age that I am, which I'm not going to say, because not that I'm ashamed of it. It's just that I'm just an old freak, I guess.
Like somebody just told me I looked like I was in my late 20s. I was like, you know what, you need a hug. You know. Because like they told me, I was like, you know, I was talking to a young lady and she told me she graduated in 2009. I was like, Jesus. I was like when I graduated from school you weren't even in school.
Wow.
So
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm not ashamed of my age, so. Shamor, how old do you think? Have you seen pictures of me?
I've seen maybe one.
So I look old or young or what? How old do you think I am?
I would never guess your age because I don't want you trying to guess mine.
Yep, thank you.
It's not going to happen. But a very handsome young man, I mean, I don't see age.
Okay, I'll accept that. That's good. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. I worked hard on that one.
Yeah.
You know what people really mean when they don't see age? They're like, I don't look at age. I look at potential. That's what it means.
Yeah. That's what that means. I like DV.
DV, you have done it, brother.
Oh, man, don't go there again. Do not go there again.
What do you mean? I'm not going anywhere.
Because, man. Like, no, because when me and Cobbles.
Okay. Well, look, you know, we got somebody else on the line. Let's see who we got calling this. Caller, take the name of where you're calling from.
Oh, it's Melody. I'm listening. Hi,
hello,
Liz.
Melody. How
Hi.
Are you, sweetheart? Are you planning on not talking?
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. I'm cooking. I'm in and out of the kitchen. I'm listening mostly.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into some shit here in a minute.
Okay.
Is your kid? Oh, yeah. Is your kid available? Because I don't want them to be hearing shit. She got quiet on me. Okay.
You said...
Okay, cool. Okay. All right, well, we was getting into something because DV was about to run from something that I was about to accuse him of, and he ran pretty quick. So, DV, what am I accusing you of?
I didn't run from anything.
Your grace and... everything that you have, the charisma and the power of DV Hint.
What is this charisma that you speak? Like, I'm probably the most bland person I know.
Are you bland?
I have. Shamor, you know, people accuse me of having charisma. I have none.
Shamor, doesn't
you mean that? Like, if I don't know you, I don't like you.
Doesn't he have charisma?
I don't like his saying. I don't like that saying. That's not true.
But see, I'm thinking, I'm not antisocial, but I am an introvert by nature, you know. So, like, my thing is I'd rather talk about topics, subject matter, anything that adds to intelligent conversation. But if somebody just wants to sell me something and they don't want to talk to me about anything, we have nothing to talk about. You know, so if I get to know somebody, what's that?
I have a question for Ms. Shamour. We're in the process, and this is for everybody here. Everybody knows this already. We're in the process of coming up with a book that we would like to do as authors together, and it's kind of like a self-help book.
Oh, yes. I've been working on that.
And the name of the book is called Understanding Your Behavior, and then there's a second piece name in there that I had that I can't remember right now because it's not in front of me. But we want to do it kind of like an anthology, but not an anthology, but kind of like all of us come together and write different chapters on our opinions of what we think and not really being the authority, but, you know, doing a little research and finding out what our experiences of certain things in relationships. Do you think that that would be something that you're interested in doing or being part of?
Well, you know, my first love is relationships. Like, I really wanted to be a counselor. That's what I wanted to do. Because I love to watch and study relationships. So you just hit something that is near and dear to my heart.
Well, we don't want to do a Steve Harvey book or a Michael Bazin book, but we want to do a book that's going to help people. And we're just going to kind of like mention some things that we've experienced. And we're going to let people know that we're not the authority, but this is what we think we see in a relationship. And in things in relationships, because I like to do a chapter on making it about your mate is what I want to do, and what I mean by that is, huh?
We need to get a roster going of, you know, people and subject matter so that we all have something individual, you know, something we can all contribute individually.
And we can do that. I sent Melanie, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but I sent Melanie a kind of a outline of some chapters of some things that we might want to go over, and if we all agree, I can send it to Shamour as well, and we can all look at it and see what we might want to tackle. And if we do, you know, those areas, then we'll go ahead and put it out. I think.
I got it. You sent it to me, and I have it, and I did. I was supposed to look it over in depth. I will do that. I've been busy. I'll do that tonight.
Okay. I just want to get it, and it don't have to be, I mean, we can get it done sometime, hopefully. I know everybody has a lot going on this year. My goal is to have this book out hopefully by the first part of next year, if not at the end of this year sometime, where we can try to at least, if not have it out, but have it to a point where it's close to being out. And I really want us to take time out and kind of look at it, because, like I said, the piece that I want to do is making it about your mate, and what I mean by that is it's not about you, it's about her or him, and how you can do that, and what I think is the way that you should or shouldn't do. And I believe that if you make it about that person, that they'll make it about you back. But you got to be sincere and really make it about them, and that's in everything, in your orgasms, in all of that, not just, you know, one piece and that's it. You know, it's got to be about that person, and it has to be in a way that it's not where you're kissing their ass, but it's with taste, is what I'm saying, and, you know, with love. And, of course, this method is not for those who just want a booty call or somebody they just want to fuck with. You can't do that. And we're going to have a subject matter. I think there's going to be a chapter in there about that as well. I mean, if you think this is what you want, then this is what you got to do, because my belief is if you're going to play those games with people, which I don't like to do, but if you're going to play the game with someone, then they should be informed in the beginning. What's your opinion on that? I think this should be a well-informed decision on what you're getting into, instead of lying and saying you really want to be this when you really don't. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think my thing with the relationships is I just feel like everyone should be an adult. And then at some point in your life, in your existence, it should be about honesty. You know, as an adult, you should be able to say, this is what I mean, this is what I'm looking for. And if that's not what you want, then this is only going to go, you know, this far. So I agree.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell you my age now since we're at this point. I think at 50 years old, at the age of 50, you should be, if you don't know what the fuck you want by now, fine, that's cool, because you might have been through some things where you really don't know. But I think you should be at the point where you're telling people, okay, let's put this on the table. This is what I would like right now. What do you like? And then let that person make their decision at that point instead of you sitting there acting like you want to be with them and all this when you really just want some pussy, you know?
Right. And what you're talking about is maturity, so it doesn't come at a certain number. That's just the maturity individual.
There you go. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because it can be at 20, it can be at 50, it can be at whatever age. But I think that sometime, like you just said a few minutes ago, somebody needs to come to a point where when the game stops. When does the game stop? You know?
But there, you know, you can't be so blind as to think it's only one sided. You know, game plan is on both sides. So if a guy wants to play games, he needs to find a chick that's playing games. They exist. And they can have an equally matched tennis game in their relationship because they're playing the same game, you know. But don't go find that individual who's looking for something more, something deeper, and then shortchange that person. That's not fair.
So. Right. Well, that's why I say a decision needs to be made where you both put everything on the table and you actually mean what you say. Because a lot of times people say stuff in the beginning, and then when feelings get involved, that's when things change. People think they can change you, or they see flags in the beginning, but they don't want to accept those red flags because they like the person and they want to go forth with them. So
I just think that
if we sit down and talk to people and let them actually know, and first of all, you got to know what you want. Once you know what you want, then you got to be able to sit down and talk to the person that you think you want to have this with and see where they are and if they want the same things. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there that want the same shit, but you just got to tell them. And they got to know you want that. And once you find that out, you can really do this. And there's a lot of women that want that too. But see, what messes it up with women, what I'm seeing is, because society has it, if a woman does all the things that men do like that, they're labeled as hoes and all this stuff. So I think if society was more open and let women do these things, there would be more open women out there saying, you know, let's just fuck. Because there's a lot of them that just want to just fuck.
Which is true, but women also bear brunt of responsibility of whatever happens. You know, like the thing about games is this. You know, you got to know you're playing and you got to know the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of people out there playing games. The other person don't realize and they damn sure don't know the rules. So, I mean,
absolutely.
I think everything is cool in moderation, but these are the things that you need to talk about before you lay in a sack with somebody. Like, look, you know, what happens about, you know, children? What happens about, you know, if I have this disease or you have this disease? These are the things that need to be talked about openly and honestly before people should even engage, but they don't. People are impetuous. People, you know, rush into things, and that's what we've become. We've become a nation or people that rushes into things and damn the consequences. And then when we see the consequences of it, we quick to run away because it's like, whoa, I wasn't ready for this. We ain't talking about this, you know. So, I mean, that would probably be, you know, something that I would expound upon, you know, given the anthology.
Yeah. I mean, that instant gratification society, that convenience group of people, then, you know, you have all this technology that makes things move at warp speed, but emotions are always emotions, and there's no text message for that. You can't control that like you can control what you say. I can send a text message that says I love you, and, you know, we can LOL it off, but if that's how I feel and you don't reply back, my emotions are damaged. It doesn't matter what's going on with our texting, and then if our behaviors don't match my emotions, then we have these other, you know, issues. I just think technology comes in there sometimes and kind of moves things along really fast.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because if that's not the kind of relationship you want, you shouldn't do it. Don't be texting, I was thinking about you and all this stuff, because then the person's going to think, what? You're in a relationship. When you start texting, I was just thinking about you this morning, I hope you have a great day and all this, and all you was doing was just trying to get some ass, but you doing all this stuff like you're in a relationship, then that person is going to be misinformed, and they're going to think that they're in a relationship when you're not.
If you,
so don't do that. If it's a booty call, don't talk about nothing. You just fuck and keep going. Now, if it's going to be something, then let me know the internet is going to be something.
But here's
See,
the
that's
thing.
Where the problem is. The communication is not there.
Yeah, and I was just about to say that, Red. If you're texting, the first time you tell somebody you love them, you're texting it to them, that reeks of a bad situation. It's a bad situation. If you can't tell them face to face, you got to text "I love you" to them, then it's never good. You know, things like that should be talked about.
Right, right. Even if there's text or not, you're right what you're saying. I agree with you. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't be texting anything if that's not what you're trying to have with that person, because it becomes a relationship. You understand what I'm saying? It is a relationship when you're with them, even if it's just sexual. But the thing is if you're not trying to make them your girlfriend or your boyfriend, then don't do the things that you would do if that was your girlfriend or boyfriend. Does that make sense? To me, if you're texting them and you're doing this stuff with them, then you are putting yourself in a position to be in that when that's not what you really want. So if you're not going to be in a relationship with them, then you don't text them every day. You don't do that stuff because you're leading them on in the wrong direction.
But it's so easy to remove any feeling from a text message. You know, if I don't have to talk to you and I can say, you know, think about how easy it is to cut somebody out in a text message. You know, so if I can text you something and get a reaction and not have to talk to you or look at you in your face or hear how you sound in a response, then I feel like it's no damage done on my end.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you can look at it like that, but I mean, really, is it really no damage done?
It is. There is damage done, but you know, when you're being irresponsible.
Yeah, well, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it's easier to do that because you're not looking at them. So, I mean, you know, like break up with somebody on a text message or something like that. I mean, I guess
that's very. You know, but, you know, like I say, you know, the easiest way to maintain maximum aloofness is to send a text, you know, because there's no expectation. There are people that take stuff like that seriously. Like, I was reading a study just about a month ago, and it basically said that they did a study in Britain of 3,000 divorces within the course of a couple months, and they looked over all of the paperwork. And then a third of those had reference to Facebook or text. You know what I'm saying? A third of just think about that. A third of all divorces made reference to either something on Facebook or because of a text. So, I mean, you get yourself in a lot of trouble doing stuff like that. But, you know, you kind of want to maintain plausible deniability. Oh, you know, either you become the man you're supposed to be or the woman you're supposed to be, or don't be in that relationship, plain and simple.
Yep.
I agree.
So, what do we do? Do you think that this book will help some people if we write it in a manner to just let them see just different situations or how things are and how they could be handled? Because we don't have all the answers. Even if we had PhDs in this, that doesn't give us the authority to be right either. I mean, but there are people out there writing these books that are entertainers and stuff and have nothing to back up what they're saying. But anyway, I mean,
I think the most important part of it is that it starts the conversation. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you can do to get any type of understanding is to just first discuss it. And if nothing else, you make someone aware enough to say, well, you know, let me ask him if we're playing games and, you know, what he wants from this. And if he can't answer me, then maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, if nothing else, you equip them with the knowledge going forward of how they can kind of either, you know, head it off or make it work for them. So the conversation is what's important to me.
Like, what's the saying go? When you know better, you do better. You know, there are certain people who walk around in perpetual ignorance. Whether it be self-induced or simply because, you know, circumstance. There are a lot of people who don't want to know things, but when they're provided extra information, they see things from a different perspective. So sometimes that's all you need to do is provide them a different perspective for the things that you've seen that maybe they think that no one else is going through. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we've all been through there. We've all been to that part where, you know, we're like, man, people don't understand what I'm going through. And then somebody provides an example of exactly the same thing you're going through. You're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, there's no difference in the human experience. We've all been through, you know, with our accumulated knowledge, with all of us, we've all been through something that somebody else is currently going through. You know, so at some point, if one of those people or persons picks up that book and sees that, look, Red's been going through this exact same situation, how did he get out of it? Or how did he become better because of it? Or DV, or Melody, or Shamor, you know what I'm saying? All these experiences that we have, only thing we can do is relate them and share them with somebody else so that they can do the same to the next person. They can do the same next person. Things don't get better because you keep
objective.
Things don't get better because you don't share the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? You keep the knowledge to yourself, how's it going to get better?
I know we won't do it because we're better than this, but I just don't want it to be a book that makes money because, like, the Steve Harvey concept and all that. I mean, there was some knowledge in that was given, but a lot of that was just garbage to me. But anyway, that's my opinion. I don't want to come off like that. I want to really help some people. I don't want to give them some plans or how to play the player like that basically was. You know, telling women how they can play on a man or get him to think like a man or whatever, they're doing some shit to make him think something, to me is playing a game. And we don't want to do that. We just want to tell people how different situations we've been in, how we may have gotten through them and what you can do or what you might not do or what, you know, whatever. That's all we're saying. And I just don't want to be having a book out there that's going to be like the 90-day rule. You need to do this shit, you know, because you don't get a cookie up in 90 days and, you know, all this shit. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's not grown-up logic. You know what I'm saying? It's just mm-hmm. not. I'm sorry.
No, it isn't. And I just don't want this to be looked upon as something that people can look and laugh about. I mean, we want to make people talk, like you said, Shamor. The objective is to get people talking. You know, just like we had these people on, and I mentioned this before, we had some guys on here that was talking about relationships, and they were saying that black women was this and that, and they was going to white women as their answer and all this. If nothing else, like they said, I have to give it to them. They made a lot of people pissed off and all that, but they did get people talking.
Mm-hmm.
So our objective is to get people talking about these things, and maybe we can discuss it on the show or whatever and get people to, you know, maybe even go around the country and talk about it and making people informed on how we should do this, because I'm tired of seeing black people betrayed as this and black women that's got their necks going back and forth and they're so tough that nobody can handle them. And, you know, I'm just tired of all of that. And it don't have to be that way all the time. That doesn't mean you're a strong black woman because you can make your neck go back and forth and you know, all that stuff. It's just crazy. Okay, that's Melanie. I'm going to put it back on. All right. So, but do you see where I'm trying to go with this?
Mm-hmm. I see the vision.
Huh?
I see the vision.
Okay. Would you think you'd be part of that? Would want to be part of that?
Definitely. I always have an opinion.
Well, I mean, I just feel that you would bring something to the table with that. And not even knowing that you had a background in wanting to do self-help type stuff, I just felt like you were I looked at you and saw that you was a woman that knew.
You saw the wholesome self-help element in me.
Well, you got a self-help element, yeah. Yeah,
that's what you saw when you were looking.
I did. No, that's not what I saw. But anyway, yeah. I but I know Melanie definitely has that, and she is definitely strong in that, and we definitely want her opinion. And, you know, I want this to be a successful book that will help some people and not, and like you said, we get them talking. I don't want them to be talking about, you know, well, Red Snapper says, do this. Well, I mean, if they do say that, I mean, I want it to be something positive, not some go and drink 3 glasses of water and jump in the pool backwards and then you'll get a man, you know, some shit like that. I mean, I want it to be something that's going to help in a relationship. Like, you know, Rick said that if you do this, you know, you possibly can get this result. I'm not going to say that you're going to get the result every time, but I'm going to say that if you do this, you probably will get this result. If done correctly and done in a manner that you got to be sincere in what you're doing, if that makes sense. Or if DB says, you know, this, or Shamor says, you know, in her experience, she felt this, and this is what she got. You know, you may get this or you may not.
Yeah, so, I hate stuff like that.
But, I mean, I think we can do that. I mean, that to me would be more beneficial than writing about how to fuck over your man. You know, 15 ways of screwing around, or, you know, how to use the 90-day rule to get what you want, or, you know, close your legs and keep them closed, or, you know, some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
We all know that that's not going
to make a diamond.
Excuse me?
Let's see. Because you keep them, keep your legs so tight that you make a diamond in there.
Right.
I mean,
this is how you get the wedding.
That's not a good rule. It's not a good philosophy.
No.
That's not a good rule.
You know, I mean, like, life is. Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. It's like everybody, like, I read a lot of articles. Of course, there was this article on. You know, like, God, I just caught a brain fart. No, it was written by, you know, some women. It was written by woman X on what guys like. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, did you even ask any guys in this article what they like, you know, during sex? No. You know, it's just some woman who writes. It's just like, you know, some man who writes what women enjoy during sex. Oh, you know, because I slept with this many women, this is what women enjoy. But that's not all women. You don't speak for all women, just like, you know, girl writer X doesn't speak for all men.
Right.
You know, I mean, ultimately, nothing we say is going to cover everything everywhere. But, like I said, there's enough human experience between all of us that we've seen and done a lot of things that people may currently be going through or may be dealing with. You know, and if we don't disseminate that information, they may still end up dealing with it and may go about it the wrong way. You know, the best way to learn about something is through other people's experiences. When you do it yourself, you know, you got a 50-50 chance of really screwing it up. So, I mean, sometimes it helps to listen to other people's experiences, see what they did, and then not do those things if they ended up poorly or badly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to stress, that we're not the authority, but we're giving you some insight on some things that you possibly can look at on how to handle the situation. You know, that's the reason why I don't want to have a PhD or anything, like a doctor or something in this. I mean, we could probably get that, but I think we can bring an informed result by just being honest and saying the experiences we had and let the people decide on whether that's right or not. And that's what I'm hoping to get. I mean, this is a hard book to write, though, really it is, because, you know, you got to be able to take the experiences, and everybody's not going to agree. We know that.
Right. Not supposed
but,
to.
But they're not supposed to. That's right.
Exactly. That's what makes us individual. And that's
right.
What makes our experiences so personalized, because
right.
What I may do in my situation, someone in the same situation may not do and get different results. You know, but I can only tell you my story.
Right. Or, you know, occasionally tell them somebody else's story, you know, that, you know, you guys did either two things completely different or two things alike, and, you know, what the outcome of those situations were.
Right.
You know, because sometimes even when we write fiction books, we draw upon real experiences from, you know, people we know and people we've met. You know,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those play a lot into the people that we are. You know, listen to other people's experiences about, you know, a given situation.
Who's Bob the Builder?
You don't know Bob the Builder?
Nope.
Mr. We Can Fix It.
I want some more to let you know. Who's Bob the Builder, baby?
I'm not answering that. And you just need to stay off my page while you're on the radio.
I ain't on your page. It's popping up in my face. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was in that, you know, anytime you write a response to something, you know you're going to get those responses. So I'm looking at this shit, and I see Bob the motherfucking Builder. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave that alone because that's yours. Okay. But, yeah, it's cool.
And you noticed that I didn't say that, so.
Say what now? You didn't say Bob the Builder?
You noticed that I didn't say that. Someone else said
that. No, that wasn't you, sweetheart. That wasn't you. You're right. That was someone else.
Okay.
That wasn't you. We know you're not like that. You're a very, very intellectual and loving and caring and not freaky woman. I got it.
Who told you the latter?
Excuse me?
Who told you the latter?
I'm just saying that because I know that ain't true. But anyway.
Okay.
I just know it's not true. But I just wanted to say that because I know the world is listening right now, and, you know, they're going to think what they want, but they know Red. They know me, okay? So
it's okay for them to know because I am very selective when it shows. So everybody doesn't get to see it.
I know, and I'm just glad to know you. I really am. Like I said, I'm happy to be in your book. I'm going to be in your book, and that's an honor in itself.
I'm so glad to have you.
Yeah.
Yes, in that way.
You think I'm mean, but I'm serious, though, because, you know, I'm just glad to be part of that. And when I was asked to write for it, I really jumped on that as fast as I could and got it in because that's just
but
like.
But that had absolutely nothing to do with me. You did that for Beverly.
Well, I saw you, too, though, because I thought you was going to be doing some writing, too, and then I found out. She said you was taking over, and then, I don't know. Anyway. She going to say I did that for Beverly. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to put it out there. I want you to get to use that, you know, to position yourself a little bit better. Because that had nothing to do with me when you said yes. You were already on board when I said I was right, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Beverly wasn't talking like you or acting like you or looking like you. So. I'll just leave it at that. How about that? Okay. Anyway, DV, what's up, man?
What's up?
You're being quiet.
What's up with what? Oh, no, I'm just
asking the question.
I'm
now, Shelby, she wants to know more about you, so she's running from me. You go ahead on and
It don't sound like she's running at all.
You go ahead and take it, brother. I'm lost.
Man, like, I'm
not running. I'm just running with her. I'm glad to have the friendship, actually.
I'm trying to find everybody on Facebook, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't understand Cotton, man. She's so busy now. She asked me, can I be on the show tonight?
Like, I don't think me and Shamar are friends on Facebook, and I'm like, Bob the Builder, I need to find out what this is all about.
Oh, but see, no, you don't like me because you don't know me, remember?
Hey, but see, the whole point is to get to know you.
Oh, okay. So how do you do that if we're not friends? I don't understand.
Because, see, we've already engaged in conversation.
Oh,
you know,
so now we move to phase two.
Yeah, actually phase 1.2.
1.2,
you know,
I'm sorry, I'm moving too fast, remember that technology.
Yeah, you
know, you're on Word Sexy Radio.
Slow motion.
And you're hearing it right here on Word Sexy Radio. It's all happening right now. That's it. Amazing, isn't it?
It always is.
We're getting quiet now. Why y'all getting quiet now? Y'all was talking shit. Go ahead.
Oh.
You got 35 minutes.
Man, I'm still looking.
You're still looking? Okay.
Hey, you're looking for me? He didn't tell you my whole name.
Okay.
I didn't tell you your whole name. I didn't. Okay.
It's Shamar.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you.
Oh,
well, we got 30
minutes. You cut her off.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Go ahead.
I was saying it's Shamar Books.
Okay. Oh.
While y'all trying to figure it out, I'm going to go ahead and play this one song real quick, and we'll be right back after this one, okay? We are back on Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we got D.V. Hint here and Miss Shamar from Shamar Books, who's doing her thing. And we're going to be finding out how you can get in contact with her as well so that you can, when her book comes out and all the other products that's coming through her, you'll be able to get her and maybe get her for a book signer or something like that in your place, wherever you are. And if you got any questions, you want to call in. The number is 347 215-853-9. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we would be happy to hear from you if you want to come in, if you dare, call. So we're back. Now, did you find it, DV? Because I know you was looking hard, diligently for...
Yeah, I found it. What happened to your account, man?
Say what?
So what happened to your account?
What happened to my account?
Yeah,
you talking about
like,
the 5,000 page one?
I just jacked it. I'm like, what?
Say what? You talking about
know,
the...
It has been deactivated.
Well, you know, that first page, it turned into a regular page, and I can't get it back now. So all them fans I have, they just link as likes now. So I'm just jacked up. So I had to start the second page, which I'm trying to build it back, and it's, you know, it's taking some time because people think that they're part of the first page, so they're like, fuck the second page, and they don't want to get bothered with that, so... Nobody likes red. Anyway, here we go. Could that be true?
Of course not. Nobody openly admit it.
Not openly? Okay. Well, I wasn't asked to. I do poetry, so that would be true.
Bring up also.
But to answer that question, hell no, I don't do poetry. But I like it. I
you like
don't
it. I got something. I got something you like.
Well, would you like to say it right now?
You don't want me to read that. So
yes, I do. You ain't gonna do poetry for us right now. You got 28 minutes.
Let me
you don't have to.
I mean
if you
want
to like that, baby. I mean, I don't want you to.
I have to go to a different place to read that stuff. So.
That's okay. Don't do it. You got to be naked and all that shit. Don't. That's all right. You got to go to a different place and all that. I mean, I don't want you to have to strip.
I'd be the first to say, I
will listen to that. And then rub your stuff 15 times or some shit, you know, and get it restored or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I got you. We'll get you next time.
Oh, my gosh. Why did I even give you that opportunity? I don't know why I opened the door for that one.
All right. I'm sorry. But sweetheart, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't even be talking that way to you. So don't worry about it. It's good. Isn't that right, DV? If I don't like you, I ain't gonna talk shit with you.
You a liar. You talk shit anyway. Like just because
not like that.
Yeah, this is true.
Nope.
This is true.
If I don't like you, I'll talk about your ass, but I ain't gonna be talking with you. No, I'm just, you know, this is what it is, so. But if anybody wanted to get in contact with you for a book signing in the future or to maybe even write for your company or something like that, how can they do that?
Well, I have my website, www.shamore.net, which contains email addresses and so forth. If we're friends on Facebook, inboxing is always something that I get. So that's cool. That's fine. So right now, that's kind of what we're doing. The internet is the quickest way because stuff comes right to my phone. So, and we'll go from there.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So this book that you have coming out, I know it's just coming out. Have you been writing like a sequel to it? Or is there going to be a standalone, this book is by itself, you can do something else?
It's a trilogy, so yes. I already started writing the second book. Actually put a teaser chapter in the first book. So yeah, it's following two families through a situation that ties them together. And by the third book, we come out with the answer, you know, what happens.
Uh-huh. So character development, let me ask you about that. How was it? Was it easy to make these characters, or how they just came to life in your mind, or, you know, how did you deal with that?
For the first book, it was, I never knew kind of what was going to happen. I can't sit here and say that I developed each character, wrote down and said certain things about them, and I knew it was going to implement in the story. That did not happen. It started as a therapeutic write. I was writing out some frustration, and then it turned into a novel. Partially through it, then the other supporting characters had to be developed, and so I had to make sure that I, you know, linked everything throughout to the conclusion, but that's what's going to have to happen in book two, is kind of like DV was saying, I'm going to have to make sure that I keep it consistent from what happens or the character traits they have in the first book. I carry it through the second book. So the second book will probably be a little bit more processed, and it'll have to, you know, be consistent. But in the first book, I didn't go through any type of character development kind of outline or anything like that. But they do develop, they do grow, they do change.
And I never asked you this in the beginning. I guess I should have asked you, what genre are you actually writing? Is it romance, or is it urban fiction, or what is it that you, is it contemporary? What do you call this?
I would consider it romance. Of course, my characters are African-American, but I wouldn't label it as urban.
So you're not going to have a skyline in the background and a couple of people standing in front of the skyline and, you know, where they got drugs and shit in their hands and all this, and, you know, and
let me paint the picture for you. I grew up, I was the last child, so I was my mom's buddy. And I grew up in love with, I watched Dynasty with my mom every week. That was the only thing I watched. Diane Carroll was my favorite person. She was classy, elegant, beautiful. She had stuff. And I never forgot that idea. And so I know that there are a group of people that are underrepresented. I'm not going to say they're not, but they're underrepresented to me in mainstream African-American fiction. People that don't have to sell drugs or be part of that lifestyle that still go through stuff. That's not the only thing that happens in African-American culture. It's not that we just have, you know, baby mama drama and all that. We do have drama. But we can also have, look like we have all of our shit together and not have it all together. So
yeah,
that's kind of where my angle was. That's kind of where my characters come from. You know, it looked like on the outside they could have anything, everything that they want. But then, you know, when the foundation, you know, isn't like it's supposed to be, money or no money, shit's going to happen.
What's amazing that you use her as an example, because I remember watching her, and like I already told my age, so everybody know I'm old as hell. But anyway, watching Julia, she was like the first black woman to have a show that was on television, and she was playing a black. Of course, she had to be a single parent person, mm-hmm. but she was a black nurse who had a son, and she mm-hmm. was raising her son, and. You know, it's amazing that you use Diane Carroll as an example, because, and that show, Dynasty, I used to love that show as well. So, yes, we can be seen in a different light. We don't have to always be ghetto and walk around and, you know, and all this. But I think a lot of people that write those stories, they're trying to reach, well, first of all, that's what they know. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to reach somebody, because a lot of times people, we're reading stuff. You know, even when I was growing up, we were reading things that didn't have anything to do with us. We want to see ourselves in a book. But do we have to always be betrayed as that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you're not falling along with that. There's nothing wrong with urban fiction. So people that's
and
listening, don't get the wrong idea. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
is,
say,
there is a place for that. There is definitely
there is
a market
for
that. There is a place for
right.
that. But I don't
but
want
what I'm
to...
saying is, every book doesn't have to be about that.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. And that's good. And there's authors that can write other things, you know.
Right.
I don't write urban fiction because I wasn't in that arena. So I'm not going to write about something that I don't know everything about, because I do write paranormal and I don't know all about that either. But what I'm saying is you know, I mean, for me to write something like that would be, I think I would have to experience more of it. And because I don't have a background in it, I'm sure I can do research and find out some stuff, but I mean, I guess I hope I'm making sense. You know,
yes.
Every story doesn't have to be about the drug dealer who got out of jail and his girl was with his rival drug dealer and he's trying to get her back and all his turf back and all this shit. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, but then that's where you get into the authenticity of what you're writing, and you know it's so much easier to write about things that I know more about than things that I don't know anything about. But
right.
You know, again, I know a lot about I know a little bit about a lot of things. So again, it gets back to how much research you want to put in for those areas where you know less.
Right, and I understand that. That makes sense. So, but, you know, I'm just glad that you came on the show and, you know, that you were able to spend time with us and talk shit with us and let me talk shit to you and all that. And I'm a good person, even though I cuss a lot. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not offending you, but I am a good person. DV's a good guy. He's here. I know he's a good guy. He plays that role like he's this squeaky clean guy.
Plays that role. Oh.
But his ass is not squeaky motherfucking clean. I'm sorry.
I don't know. If he's playing a role, he did a really good job today because he was, he's gunning for that gentleman position.
I am so finished now. DV finished the show. He finished the show. We got 18 minutes. You want to finish the show with,
No, this is your show. This is your show, man.
This is our show. It's not my show. It's our show. You know, you've been on here too long for it to be just my show. But like I said, you know, he's that squeaky king guy, and I'm that nasty, dirty, whatever person.
I would never say that.
No, Red is that guy. Red is like the dude who do all the work, who got the dirty uniform on. How many dudes they collect payment?
No, you didn't say that, did you? No. But we all have our parts on the show. What we do, usually when Cotton's here, she's that woman, that strong woman that's on the show. DV is that guy that always never wants to agree, but has a good opinion. I'm usually that just freaky, nasty, whatever, crazy guy. And we used to have another person on the show, and she's been gone. She used to be that one that. What was her role?
it depended on the argument.
She did what?
With Cotton, it depended on the argument.
Right.
Cotton provide a different perspective, but at the same time, providing a different perspective. There's times where she got angry, and she let you know how she feel. And like I said, she's another one of those people who are honest.
You really felt
Cotton from, whenever she said things from her perspective, you always felt what she had to say, because she's Cotton.
Right. And when Melanie comes on and speaks, she has a lot to bring as well whenever she wants to speak. Tonight she's not speaking because she's cooking, but...
I'm done cooking.
Okay. She brings her soft Melanie side to it too, so I love it.
Thank you.
All bases are covered.
Right. That's why we have, I think, a great show. Although, the word sexy has been around for a minute, and a lot of people want to come on. We've had a lot of big people on the show. We've had a lot of new up and coming authors. We've had poets. We've had all types of people. I was going to play, my son is a producer, my youngest son, and he's trying to get out there in the world of producing music. And I was going to bring some of his music. I probably will next time, the next show, maybe play one of his songs that he produced and created. And I was going to do that today, but I wasn't ready. So I will do that for him. He just graduated from high school, so hopefully he'll be able to... get into the world after. I want him to go to college, of course, but, we want him to get into that world because he's very talented. But, you have to watch, just like in anything you get into, even in this genre of stuff we're in, it's the same thing. It's just a different product, really, if you look at it. The music business versus the literary game, it's really the same. especially when you're dealing with royalties and different things with people and stuff like that and trying to get books sold and all that. So just trying to help him out. But anyway.
That's what good daddies do.
Huh?
So that's what good daddies do.
Well, yeah, you know. We try to help out, you know. I mean, I do have a sentimental side when I'm not freaking, whatever, and all that shit. But
Okay. Hmm. I have some poetry for you.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
This is the level one. I didn't get too deep with you on this one. This one is timeless. If I had a power, it would be to stop time. I'd freeze the minutes and say the seconds, no mind. Time would not be of the essence. The focus would be just the enhancing those very elements that make you a man, stroking your ego, swelling your pride, my own plan. My mission, to spread my love, engulfing you from all angles, to intertwine the fingers, arms, and legs, all entangled. There'd be no hurry, no limit, no pressure, no rush. Reaching ecstasy repeatedly, your explosion a must. My legs are necktie as you slowly devour my gift. You push, I moan, we sweat, I arch, you lift. A firm grip on the small of my back to secure the position. I can't escape your grasp, our body's rhythm rocking away tension. With time on our side, you place me on mine, and the real fun begins. Round three or four, I've lost count as I become wetter and you slip your love in. You whisper, you like that, baby, and wait for me to respond. You wait, but nothing can be heard as my body tightens within our bond. It's my turn to breathe hard, squeeze tight, and moan long. Penetrating deeper, your thrust turns my soft whispers into a song. My wetness, my clenching, my ecstasy is too much for you to miss. You grip my hair, the sheets, and release inside me, succumbing to bliss. Time was absent and without control as we began each other's pleasures, disregarding the obligations and satisfying our desires beyond all measure. If I had a power, it would be to stop time. I'd freeze the minutes and pay the seconds, no mind. The end.
That's that piece or something? If I was a finger snapper, I'd probably be snapping my fingers right now and shit. But that was good. I like that, really. DV, since you're a poet, what you think, baby?
Oh, what?
She said you was a poet. You said you wrote some shit. I heard it.
This was years. I'm talking about, you know, back in. High school type of year.
Hitler was a corporal and shit? Is that what you said?
But see, I wrote poetry because I had to for my Brit Lit class. You know, that was the thing. That's it. And then they used to put my poetry. They used to put my poetry out where everybody could read it. And so I was like, yep, that's the end of that. No career in poetry ever.
DV has always got some excuse about some shit.
I call them reasons.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought it was a good piece, and it was sensuous to a point to I understood what you meant when you were coming with your feelings as far as about, you know, what you were saying about the intimacy of that person that you were with, and it didn't have to be nasty, which was good.
You gonna say which was so good?
Which was good.
It was because
it was nasty, but since it wasn't,
mine would have been really nasty, and you probably wouldn't have liked it. It would have been. That's why I'm not a poet, because if I was a poet, it'd be like he's tucking his dick in her ass or something. You know, and I'm not. You know, you don't want to hear that. So,
what are you talking about? Your poems start with like doo doo on my chest. Why? I don't know. You know, I'm like, what the hell?
She squirted all over my body, and I don't understand. She built me as great. You know, I know. Yeah, right. I got it. That is the reason why I'm not a poet. There is a reason why I'm not a poet.
That's all right, though.
If you ever decide
to write a poetry book, though, Shamor?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You don't think you'll put out a poetry book?
No. I don't think so.
You ain't going to write nothing like, my pussy, my pussy, my pussy. Oh, my pussy is so, you know, nothing like that?
No, you're not going to get that from me.
I mean, that's the point.
No, that is absolutely not my style. It's nothing wrong with it, but that's not my style.
My thighs. How I want to squeeze my thighs around your head. Nothing like that.
Nothing like that, no.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it's a little bit more explicit than what I just said, but that's it, you know, a little.
Good, though. I mean, for you, sweetheart, and I'm not trying to say this in a, don't take this in a negative, but
okay,
the way you did that was good. I mean, you don't have to be as nasty as Red.
Don't worry, I don't think I could catch up to Red.
Wow. I mean, is it that bad?
I don't know. That's what it sounds like. I don't know.
No,
he has some insider knowledge that I don't have.
No, you just need to read a Red Snapper book. It's nasty, but, I mean, it's good.
Okay.
I have something
to finish that you have offered, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, that story I wrote for that anthology is definitely hard as a motherfucker, so.
Oh, okay. See?
It's hard. It's rough. I mean, it's what it is, though. You ain't got to think about no words because they're right there in front of you.
Yeah.
So that's just the way I do. But anyway, Melanie, are you still here, sweetheart?
Yes.
What's going on with the black book?
Hold on for a second, Ray.
Hello? Is that still going on? Because that's a great idea. I don't hate to see that die out. It's still going, right?
I'm waiting for more submissions. Like,
you need more submissions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a few, but I have a few more.
monthly, what is it, a quarterly magazine? I think that should have been a book, though. The Black Book.
Well,
that should have been a fucking anthology.
I have no idea at this point because I like the visual aspect of it, but if I can just get it to the writing, I may consider throwing it on Kindle.
It'd be a great anthology.
Like that. Yeah.
It'd be a great
one.
You have some hot stories up in there.
Theme, though. I have to.
If you decide to make it into an anthology or something, let me know. I'll write something else.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would love to be part of that. Like I said, I'm happy with some of the things that's happening with old Red. He's getting into some shit. I might even get soft and write something soft pornish without all the cussing and everything, and see how that goes. People will probably trip and say, did he really write this? Wow, it got quiet. But anyway.
I don't think anybody believes he can write that way.
Oh, is that what it is? So the only way I can write is I have to be saying those things because that's just me?
I wouldn't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying that's what it seems like. That's why.
Are you going to change your thoughts of me now? You're not going to talk shit to me anymore on
Facebook or whatnot, like you've been doing?
That's what I do.
Oh, okay. So I don't have to worry about you changing. Good. Great.
That's what I do.
That's good to know because you do talk shit. And I like it. I like it. So, you know, you got to keep it because I'm going to keep, if I see you on, I'm going to be all up on you. Like, well, what's going on with your ass today?
That's fine. I enjoy it.
Speaking out or what? You know, I'll say something like that and you'll come back with some shit and like, that's red it is. You know how you do.
Black.
She bothers me. I mean, she just lets me, she pokes me and I poke her back. And then they'll ask a question, what does poke mean? Like, people don't know what that means. What does poke mean to you? What does poke mean to you?
I've heard some interesting answers because I've asked that question a few times.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it means to me. When somebody pokes me, they act like they want to do me. Now, if it's a dude, then I don't respond. I don't respond, okay? Like sometimes they don't know Red Snapper's a man, and sometimes somebody might, there's no picture on the Red Snapper page, so they might think it's a woman,
oh,
and they be
yeah.
poking them. Yeah.
Man, I poked somebody for over a year before they gave up. I wasn't giving up. I don't care.
So, you know, poking is a sexual experience that goes back and forth between each other, so don't stop poking, okay? Just because I said that might be the only sexual experience I'm getting.
Yeah, I ain't about to lose no. I don't care if you dude or female. I'm about to lose no poke war. And this is all too. You about to lose.
Well, I want to go ahead and take this time to thank you some more for being our guest this evening because the person that was supposed to have been on here, for some reason, you must have knew they wasn't coming. Because
I
they
had no
said,
idea.
They just said, fuck it. And you just came on and took it. And I'm glad you did. So,
I don't know. Why don't you put these people in purgatory? Like, oh, you want to come on my show? No. 3 month hiatus.
That's what I'm going to have to do because they're the ones that be asking to come on and then they don't come when they're supposed to. And I let them know that the show is going to happen.
Sounds like real life, huh?
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
Man, you don't have to throw that in. I was going to get you for the show with that. That was just all too
much. Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. But I'm glad you came on, and I'm glad you stepped up to the plate and showed us your poetry side and your sweet voice and everything that I thought about you. I really think even more of you now, which is good things. So we thank you very much for coming on. Oh, no, don't be scared.
I was.
No, you're too sexy for that. But anyway,
thank you for having me on.
We thank Melanie for coming on and saying a few words. We thank DV, and I want y'all to have a great holiday, and we definitely will be back on Monday. I don't know who's coming on. Let me see who's supposed to be. We'll figure it out, because I ain't even going to say who it is. Hell, they might not show up. And that doesn't happen all the time. I don't want you to get the wrong idea and think that people just don't come to the show. Because sometimes they get their stuff crossed, and then they come begging me afterwards, oh, I was supposed to be. Well, no, it's too late. Sorry.
You know what? You should have a voicemail that you can send people to that just be like, F you. You know, that's what I'm going to do eventually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get around to it. You know, people don't want to hear from. Like the person you have received, the person you just called says, F you. Please don't call this number again.
Was that DV saying that? Because he's been really good. That was DV who said that?
It wasn't red. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Came out right before I was about to turn the end.
Oh, it's not the truth. I would love to get that voicemail, I tell you right now.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you go on a good note because I don't want her to get the wrong impression of you since she talks to her the whole show. But you still ain't shit anyway. But anyway, all right. We thank you. Don't be a stranger. You can come on anytime you want, Shamora, okay? Once you've been on the show once, you don't have to ask to come back. You just come back anytime you want.
It was a pleasure meeting you some more.
It was nice to meet you, sir.
Okay,
you guys have a good night.
We're going to let Anthony Davis take us out forevermore, okay?
All right.
All right.
from the seeds we sow to the time it takes to grow long enough to show you I want.
Off, try to repaint it. If you want picture perfect, well, we ain't it, because we paint it. Our own porch with a me and you that can never be tainted, because real love embodies all colors of the spectrum. Mix a few greens with your reds and your blues, create some new hues, then you rehang it. Start over, even though your friends gon' doubt you, and all them other niggas trying to scout you. It gets so tiring, but I'd be lying if I said that I'd be better off without you. And when I think of walking out you, smiling the way they make me feel like I'd be lost without you. Me and you are the only threat to us, till death do us, I'm standing next to you.